lawyer Dan Lust has been with us a few times in the past, bringing him back today. Washington State story, some Jeremy Pruitt. We'll get into a few of these items. Morning, sir, and let's begin with Nick Rolovich out there in Pullman, Washington, out of a job, no money coming to him. Explain to us what's going on.
Yeah, Bill, always a pleasure to join you. I think it's a good place to start. This question is one that is popping up not just across the sports landscape, but with employers across the country. So the question essentially is, if your employer tells you that you have to get the vaccine for whatever reason, is that allowed? And can there be a lawsuit that follows if you're fired for not taking the vaccine? So that's the central question at the core of this. Nick Rolovich, coach over at Washington State, team started out 1-3, go to 4-3. I think that's maybe a little bit relevant for this conversation. But essentially, it was a Washington State mandate that said that, employees had to receive the vaccine by October 18th, which was Monday of this past week. So we kind of circled that date for a while. Nick Rolovich had said, publicly that he was not vaccinated. There was some report that came out, of all people, by June Jones, former coach over at Hawaii. I used to coach Rolovich when he was the quarterback over at Hawaii back in the day. And June Jones said he applied, that Rolovich had applied for a religious exemption. And we didn't know the status of that exemption as we got closer to October 18th. So I guess the final piece of this, and then, Bill, I'm happy to give back to you for those hard-hitting questions that you are so well known for. October 18th comes. Reports are that he has not received the vaccine. It comes out that he was denied his religious exemption to get this vaccine. And Washington State says, you know what, under your contract, you had to abide by state law and by university rules. And part of our rules was that you had to abide by state law, and that was receiving the vaccine unless you received an exemption. You didn't get the exemption. So we have cause to fire you, as well as four of your assistants as well on the staff. And now Rolovich is threatening a lawsuit for religious discrimination. So that's where we stand as of today.
I haven't been to one day of law school yet, so keep that in mind when I ask you these questions. He has no chance in court out there, does he? I mean, what court in the state of Washington will side with him?
Yeah, I mean, independent of the fact that, it's a little bit of home cooking, right? You'd think, it's not really a neutral playing field, put it that way, for Rolovich. Right. There have been a number of cases. I saw someone report that there's been around 40 cases that Washington has successfully defended on this particular ground. So it's an uphill battle. Before we found out that Rolovich was going to sue, I said the only conceivable way that I think he would sue is if he says that this firing, it was not for violating university rules, that it was a pretext, right, that they had always planned, and he was going to allege, not that I think this is true, I just, this is what the theory would be, that this was always an issue of religious discrimination. It had been dating back months, and this was just a pretext, that this wasn't actually the reason he was being fired, failing to get the, vaccine, that there was an issue with his religion, which, I'm a sports guy. I'm not a political guy. I'm not really a religious zealot going out here and preaching, but that's what the allegation is, that this was a pretext, that they had an issue with his religion. That's why they didn't approve his exemption. And they said even if they got an exemption, Washington State wasn't going to allow him to coach. So, that's where it stands. I don't necessarily think it's a strong lawsuit, but there's a lot of money on the line. It's about $10.5 million that he loses by being fired for cause. So, it's not the biggest shocker that he's attempting to challenge it, but I would be surprised if he prevailed in a court of law on this.
Jeremy Pruitt and his situation from his days at Tennessee, his lawyer in Texas put out a statement that you've got till October 29th, Tennessee, to pay him his money, it's 12 plus million bucks, or we're going to sue you into oblivion, and we're going to make it long-lasting, and it's really going to hurt your athletic department. Obviously, they're just saber-rattling. I understand that part of it, but give us the legal ramifications and what their opportunity is to get some of that money.
Yeah, so, this is, I guess, where we're at. This case has been kicking around for a couple of months. But importantly, as you note, there was a letter that was sent, kind of an ultimatum, right? It's from, the attorney for Jeremy Pruitt. He essentially said, settle with me or else, this is, I know you saw this, Bill, or else I will cripple UT, right? He goes,
right.
I know where the bodies are buried. You know, I think this impacts other sports. It impacts other donors. It might impact, you know, what I know and what I could make public, the ability to recruit high-level coaches to the school. And Tennessee has recruited some pretty, you know, solid coaching candidates. Even Josh Heupel was, no pun intended, a star pupil once upon a time. We'll see if he can turn the program around. But they haven't had a shortage of recruiting big-name coaches to the school. So that's what he's essentially threatening. It's a scorched-earth-type mentality and saying, listen, come to the table with me now or else I will make this lawsuit very public and I'll expose some of the secrets that you don't want exposed. Now, Bill, the problem from a legal standpoint, you're not allowed to bring a case. Not that I'm saying this is what we have here. I'm just telling you with the letters how I'm reading them. The letters are a bunch of threats. There's no other way to put it. The letters are, settle with me or else I will say where the bodies are buried. I've sent a preservation notice to Rick Barnes over the coach, you know, the coach over at Tennessee. All these different administrators, even a donor, a former player. So he's, you know, giving a signal that I'm going to go after all of these people, high-level people in the organization, obviously Philip Fulmer as well. But you can't do that without a merit, you know, a lawsuit based in merit. There needs to be some teeth to this lawsuit. So Lyons, his attorney is out there. I believe his name is Michael Lyons. But he's out here, you know, throwing around a bunch of threats. But I'm not seeing a particular avenue as to why he was fired for cause or not for cause. I'm just seeing a bunch of threats. It's not like Rolovich, which, for better or for worse, he's saying this was a religious issue. This is why I was discriminated against on a religious basis. I'm not seeing how Pruitt gets around the fact of, you know, the basic reporting that there were a number of violations brought to the attention of Tennessee, and they felt they had cause to fire him based on those violations. I don't know how he gets around the substance, right? You can throw out a bunch of threats, but you need some substance to bring a valid lawsuit without, you know, getting hit with some type of sanctions or cost for bringing a malicious lawsuit that's not based in fact. So that's my reading of it from a high level.
From a tactical point of view, this lawyer, what's the advantage to publicly throwing some of these threats out there?
Yeah, that's the easier question. I mean, in any lawyer will tell you it makes sense from an economic perspective more often than not to settle a case pre-suit. That means before you pay experts, right, before you take depositions, before you go through discovery and you go through a number of emails, right, and the time component, it makes sense to try to settle a case pre-suit when you don't have to spend anything, right? They could just cut a check and walk away. I've read the statements from the general counsel over at Tennessee that was obtained via public records request. You know, he's essentially saying, you know, what I just said a minute ago, right? There is no merit to your lawsuit. You have not, all you're doing is threatening us. You are not giving us the substance of your case. So, you know, the Tennessee is saying, go ahead and sue us. We don't think it's a wise move, but go ahead. We're prepared to not pay you a dime on this. So, you know, not maybe this expression kind of applies, but an expression that we all know from, you know, government and politics, right? The United States takes a standpoint, right, that they do not negotiate with terrorists because it would set a bad precedent, you know, for further negotiation. So that's UT's standpoint here, right? I think if anybody could just threaten a school and force them to settle, that would set a really bad precedent. Lyons is certainly trying that effort. He's certainly trying to apply as much pressure as possible, you know, to hide this and to, you know, for the school to pay up and hide this. But I think it's $12.6 million. They're not willing to pay a dime on that buyout. So ton of money, but he's trying to apply as much pressure. But again, just me at a really high level, this is a lot of bark. I'm not seeing a lot of bite in terms of the letter. Certainly Lyons could have that. But I don't, you know, if you're going to go out and say, hey, I have this great case, I'm an exposed Tennessee, what's the problem with putting, you know, the bite in the letter, right? The actual substantive merits of the lawsuit. Just seeing a lot of threats, which, you know, you more often than not signal someone that doesn't actually want to file a lawsuit for whatever reason. So, yeah, that's my reading of it. Certainly a lot of bark. Now an ultimatum of a very public ultimatum of October 29th. Also, not necessarily that typical.
So you're saying Rolovich and Jeremy Pruitt, small percentage at best of getting any money out of this?
You know, some of these cases are settled on a cost-efficient basis. Sometimes it makes sense, right? Pay the guy pennies on the dollar, make him go away. He's happy, we're happy, and all the bodies remain buried. You certainly can't rule that out. But at its core, right, asking me on a merit-based level, I haven't seen anything on Pruitt's standpoint to say that, hey, he actually wasn't fired for cause of these allegations are not true, right? That's essentially that. We'll see that. And on Rolovich's level, you know, he's making the religious argument. Not to say that that's not, if that couldn't be a valid argument. I just, you know, I haven't seen the emails or anything like that to show that this was really a pretext. So, but at their core, these are usually decisions where the school feels pretty confident in their decision, and that's why they move forward with the firing for cause. Or else they could just settle the thing up, and you and I wouldn't be talking about it right now.
Dan, tell everybody how they can follow your work.
Yes, I am at Sports Law Lust on Twitter and Instagram, and we have a podcast, Conduct Detrimental, where we discuss all things sports and law. Bill, I know it's not necessarily your flavor, the NFL, but John Gruden, the Washington football team, you know, we've been covering those lawsuits very closely, or not those lawsuits, but those brewing lawsuits. So,
right.
Yeah, Conduct Detrimental, the Sports Law podcast.
Good stuff, Dan. Always appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, Bill.
There you go. Dan Lust, sports attorney. And if you follow him, at Sports Law Lust, L-U-S-T,